This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to the Viking Age podcast, the official podcast of VikingAge.com. We do this every Monday and Thursday night at 6:15 p.m. Central Time right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. And if you miss it, we have you covered in podcast form the next day on Apple and Spotify. But however you're liking, subscribing, giving us a good review, because we never want you to miss a new episode. My name is Chris Shad. I am a contributor for the Viking Age, as well as a bunch of other websites. Normally, I am joined by Adam Patrick, who is the managing editor of the Viking Age. But Adam is under the weather today, so I call to the bullpen. And unlike Emilio Pagan, our relievers actually saved the day. So Tom Schreier, who just got off a heated internet debate about Kirk Cousins, has joined us. He is the managing editor at zonecoverage.com. And Tom, I had you on as our guest today because I want to touch on a very important storyline to start off with. One of the biggest news items of the day, USC and UCLA are joining the Big Ten, which makes absolutely no sense. The agreement is apparently done. It's going to be announced soon. It's going to pit USC. I know you're going to get excited for these matchups, Tom. Geographical rivals such as Ohio State, Michigan, Purdue, and Illinois. Like, hold your hand. UCLA at Iowa in a snowstorm is just going to be epic. Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic reports that the Big Ten and the SEC could become mega conferences with 20 or more members apiece. So the first question I have for you, college football is dead now, right? This is the beginning of the end, because it has to be. Like, there is no way.
I think this is everything. I think if you looked at it like this, and I'm not justifying the insanity of college football because it has gotten out of control. I was talking to my cousin the other day, and he goes, yeah, the quarterback, I don't know if it's at Ohio State or something, he has a deal where every 2 months he can switch out a sports car from some dealership. Yeah. So he's like, yeah, I didn't know anything about this. This guy, he goes to Notre Dame, obviously pretty plugged in with college football over there. But he was like, he's like, yeah, this guy can be driving like a G-Wagon 1 week and then McLaren the next. And I was like, must be nice to be a talented high school, you know, recruit out of Ohio going to, you know, Ohio State to go play football and drive around in a G-Wagon. But I think it has gotten insane. I think if we looked at it like this, if we called like the Pac-12, you know, I'm trying to think of like the Google conference, right? And then the Big Ten, the Target conference. And I'm not suggesting someone's going to call me like some corporate guy. I'm just trying to make this as like insane and ridiculous as possible. And, you know, the SEC is whatever, Waffle House or something. And if you say, you know, hey, look, the Target conference wants to be in the East Coast. Okay, we'll go get Rutgers. And you're like, okay, Rutgers, right? And we'll go get Maryland. It's kind of close to DC, right? And it's very funny that they chose a school that's kind of close to New York and a school that's kind of close to DC. But, you know, here we are. So we got those two. The Target, you know, conference got that. And then they're like, well, we kind of want to expand the brand. You know, Safeway's really eating into our market share. We're going to go grab, you know, USC, UCLA. These are two big brands. There's schools that people in the Midwest will recognize. I mean, like, I think it's insane. I think there's something to the rivalry of like Cal and Stanford, right? The Northern California schools versus USC, UCLA. I think there's something about like the importance of the geographical, right? It's no big deal in my mind, actually, from like Nebraska to join the Big Ten, right? I mean, at some point, I can't remember last time the Big Ten actually had 10 teams, right? So like that number doesn't matter to me. Nebraska makes sense. Like, I can drive to Nebraska, right? You know, like, yeah, you get on a flight to go to Cal. It's wonderful. It's more, but it's going to be very funny. I mean, there's just going to be like, hey, it's going to be a big deal. Like, people will go out. It's not like people are going to protest when like USC comes here, right? It's going to be a big deal. People are going to go watch. People will see if PJ Flex guys can hold their own against this, you know, USC. And like, it's going to be very funny when it's like snowing here. And now, granted, all their kids, if anything, USC's problem was like they weren't recruiting, I think, within the region well enough, right? But like, so I understand that everyone in USC is not from California, just like everyone in Minnesota. How many players from like Florida and Georgia, right, are Gophers? But like, it's just insane to me that they're like, oh, you know, we're gonna go play in like November, you know, December, so whatever. And I think there's even just like differences. And you think the Big Ten, like you get these meaty guys right in the trenches and you got fullbacks and it's, you know, it's football, baby. And, you know, you think of like the Pac-12 and it's skill players. It's, you know, it's dynamic receivers and whatever. And I don't know how true that is. The Gophers have had dynamic receivers recently, you know, whatever. But like, it's hilarious. But I think what actually happened is we realized how distorted the sport was. I remember being in college, and granted, this was like 10 years ago, but like, and people going, I just love the purity of college football, man. Those guys just go out and play because they just love football, man. And like, you know, it's not really about the money. And you'd be going, are you kidding me? Like, there's a Big Ten network. There's a Pac-12 network. There's the SEC network. There's millions of dollars coming in from the TV revenue. The administrators get rich. The coaches get rich. Because you told me about this before the show, there's, you know, this player who's telling us that like PJ Fleck, what a weird flex that he's like, yeah, dude, I got knives, man. I got knives worth 10 grand. Like what? But like, I think all this has just gotten exposed. We know this from like years ago that there were bagmen, that people were paid. You can't tell me that wasn't happening all over. Miami got exposed. SMU's program, I think, got exposed. But I mean, this was happening. And now I think this is just all out in the air. Like, look, at the end of the day, like if you, it doesn't matter who you are, you're the quarterback at the football team. You're the star recruit for the basketball team. I think gymnasts make a lot of money on, you know, on Instagram and stuff like that. And you look at like Paige Beckers has cashed in as she should. Like she's a superstar. Who in Minnesota doesn't, you know, like her or whatever. But like, I think we're just seeing like some of the stuff was kind of happening before anyways. And then this was about money. Like it was the Big Ten ultimately was, and again, I'm not even saying there's anything wrong with it, but it's like, hey, all the big Midwest schools, let's all get together, play each other all the time and get a whole bunch of people watch it so we can make money off of that. Right. And it's just now become distorted where it's like, okay, now we got East Coast and West Coast schools kind of right. And then like, whatever. And I think the reporting is correct. I think it's going to become more and more concentrated. And honestly, what this will do is force like schools like Central Florida, like Boise or whatever, to jump somewhere, right? Because I think they're going to go like, you can't be Central Florida, be like, hey, we're national champs. You're like, of what though? You know what I mean? Like there's been this whole like weird thing. I think it's just going to become like, you're going to have these power conferences. And who knows? I mean, maybe it's like a relegation thing where after a while, a school may go, hey, we can't spend all this money on football. We're going to have to go down or whatever. And you may see other programs emerge. But regardless, I mean, it is ridiculous. It is ridiculous geographically. There is something lost when it's no longer just a Midwest conference. But I don't think we should pretend that anything's fundamentally changed. It's more like it's just out in the open now. We know what it's about. It's about money, maybe. It's about driving the G-Wagon or whatever the hell the administrator drives to the football game.
I saw a tweet earlier today where somebody was saying USC is going to visit like Minnesota or something. Be like, is that a fullback?
I
like,
know.
What is that? What is that there? I think, and I mean, we won't spend too much time on this because this is a Viking show, but I just wanted to lead off with it because it's such an interesting conversation. I feel like eventually college football is going to be like the NFL, where you have certain different leagues and they just have their own championship. Like HBCU is its own little entity that has its own little championship and everything else. SEC, we had Tyler Fornes on here talking about that, where they would just have their own like SEC national champion. You might just have a couple and it might kind of be like, I mean, even like the hockey draft. Like there's little leagues across, like you have your NCAA, but then over in Canada, you have the OHL, the WHL,
that's an interesting
junior I think that's what we're trending towards as far as football. And it does. And it does. I'll point this out too. It does involve the Vikings a little bit because this is different for scouting. Like you're going to have these pods of schools and conferences in the same thing. And, you know, you're not going to see, okay, this guy's from USC, you know, I don't know if I'm going to the right, but you said it's skill players against big meaty men just bumping meat in the Big Ten. Like it's just going to be a style clash.
That's where we get sued. That line itself, bumping meat, we're going to get sued. But I think it would be very funny if the Vikings are like, one of the scouts like, hey, got to take the jet, got to get out to USC, Southern California, really like this receiver. I think he could be the wide receiver 3. And they're like, you know what? Oil's really gotten expensive. It really costs us a lot to gas up the jet. Just wait until they come here to Dinky Town. I'm not pretending it's not ridiculous, but I think you're onto something. Like, Toledo should not try to be Ohio State. You know what I mean? I think there's something to playing. Now, I think it was last year. Ironically, I think I was in Cincinnati for the Vikings game, and Toledo almost beat Notre Dame on Peacock. It was very hard to find where to get that game. But believe it or not, most bars aren't like, yeah, we'll just stream it, you know? But like, there is something to like the underdog occasionally playing, you know, the blue blood program or whatever. But I think it's actually better for some schools to go like, look, we're not going to act like we're Ohio State. If you're Toledo, let's just see if you can beat the schools of similar size. Right. And I think it will probably be more divided by size of school rather than region. Now, granted, in the smaller conferences, it makes a lot more sense to have less travel, but I actually think this is exciting. If you're like a UST fan, like, how high can you climb? You know what I mean? It already was a great D3 program. That's why they are no longer D3. And then, you know, they're in kind of this unique conference right now that's a little spread out. Could they jump to something that's a little more regional? And then, you know, like, maybe they fall into a category where they're playing, you know, NDSU, SDSU, whatever. You know, and maybe they're also eyeballing looking like, hey, can we get in the Big Ten? It's not a 10-team conference anymore. If I'm NDSU, you know, that program's got to be looking at being like, hey, we could probably jump into something, you know, like with some schools that you wouldn't normally be in a conference with or whatever. So it is getting away from the tradition of college football. It is getting away from the region, which, listen, there's just never going to be a Notre Dame USC rivalry like there is between, Minnesota USC rivalry like there is between Minnesota and Wisconsin, right? But it's not unheard of. I guess that's why Notre Dame USC came to mind, right? Now, granted, Notre Dame, pretty national school, even though it's located in Indiana, but like the distance and just the difference in like geography, like between South Bend, Indiana and Southern California did not prevent that from being a thing, right? So, I mean, I don't know. I think as long as like you don't split Minnesota and Wisconsin, right? And as long as you maintain, you know, Ohio State, Michigan or whatever, I think you're fine. You have to maintain those rivalries. The people who run these conferences have to realize that's where the money is. That's where people like me tune in, right? I always know the score. I'll always have it on. But if I'm locked in, right, it's like, it's Ohio State, Michigan. It's, you know, it would be, if there's a good team at UCLA and a good team at USC, I'll watch those two. You know, it'll be, you know, Alabama, Clemson or whatever. So I think so long as they don't break up rivalries, I actually think some fluid movement is interesting. And my hope is just certain schools go, hey, we still should have a football program, but I think there are some schools that should be in smaller conferences that go, hey, at the end of the day, Toledo's goal this year is to beat Bowling Green. It's not to go beat Ohio State. So I don't know. College football's whack. I don't know how it affects the Vikings, but I suppose, hey, oil prices are high. If you want to see, you know, USC, you can just wait until they come to Dinky Town.
You know, I was going to say, well, first of all, let's apologize to our listeners because, first of all, yes, we know it's a Viking show.
Yeah.
Interesting topic, though. Good talker. I also apologize for my lighting, which I've been trying to figure out while Tom has been talking. You got a flash in my armpit. Thankfully, it's not like smell vision or something. It's not smell tube or whatever. I think that might also get us sued. But let's talk. It is June. It is June. There's not much going on with the Vikings. All we can do is try and pick up the tea leaves here. Adam and I have been doing the rewatchable series, which we will get to the Blair Walsh game eventually. Adam was a little bit sick this week. So far we've done two good ones.
Wait. So did you say, hey, we're doing Blair Walsh this week? And all of a sudden he's like, dude.
He just got so sick watching that game. He's like, I can't do it.
He's like,
anymore.
I can't do the shank of the bank. He's damaged. We're all damaged.
He told me in his words, he has the voice of a 70-year-old grandma who smokes a pack of Marlboros a day. Smacks is pretty accurate too. As somebody who sells a lot of cigarettes at his day job, a lot of people do the all, you know. There's one guy who like did it for like 10 minutes straight. It was just
I'm glad.
You think they're loose yet, buddy? You think
that's exciting. That's exciting. I'm glad that happens. Yeah, no, I mean, what the hell do you talk about with football in June? I think I think it was perfectly appropriate to start with the Gophers, and I'm assuming you're going with Justin Jefferson, yeah?
Absolutely, we're going with Justin Jefferson because he was on NFL Network this weekend, and he said the stock company answers that you would expect in June. He wants to be a Hall of Famer. Okay, we get that. Mm-hmm. He's one of the best receivers in the history of the National Football League in his first 2 years. But then he dropped some quotes about the offense, and he started by saying this. Our offensive style, it's not a run-first offense anymore. Just being able to put people in different positions and distribute the ball, really, I'm so excited in this offense. Now, like I mentioned, Justin Jefferson's first 2 years have been historic in the league. Is it possible that Justin Jefferson can have another level in 2022?
Yeah, it's funny. He's kind of saying the same stuff all over, which is staying on message, and I think he is generally excited about this new offense, which is great news. But you know, I heard him on like one of the Ringer shows too.
And
I
was
like, yeah. And listen, like we have to be honest about how real that is, right? The whole narrative has been he's not Stefon Diggs. Like look at this change and this change. It's good he's excited about this, right? Because not everyone embraces change. And I get why I think on the Ringer show he's talking about like this is Cooper Kupp's role, broke down Cooper Kupp and was like, hey, that's awesome. I can be that guy. Of course. And that's why he can be better. I think as much as we're going to focus on, and it's hard not to look at the photos of these practices and go, dude, those guys look happy. Thielen looks happy.
Yeah.
Kirk looks happy. You know, Cook's laughing there with Justin Jefferson in a photo, KJ's, you know, whatever. And I think it's one thing to go, this guy knows football, kind of knows football. He comes from the McVay tree. Right. And it's another thing to go, he creates a culture. Yeah, great. Sometimes with the culture guys, you go, can you get through to the players? You know, like, are they going to execute on the field for you? You know what I mean? And I know that's like, that's kind of like cold brass tacks, but like week one is against the Packers. Week two is in Philadelphia. You know what I mean? Like they have to be ready to go. And there is no longer, it's three preseason games. I mean, as much as we're sitting here going, I got a month that's kind of off, right, for football. Like it sucks, but you know, August is going to be here quick. And the best thing about August is you have the camp, right? And you get excited about the football season as much in the back of your mind. You're going, well, that means we're entering fall, right? But like, I think the thing is like, you want the players as excited about that as we are, as in like when you and I and you know, kind of these legions of purple football fans go out to the facility and watch these guys practice and imagine like, what could be. You want the players to have that kind of sense of wonderment. I think Justin Jefferson does. We have to remember he's still like a young person. And I think he does. You have to love football to be as good as football as Justin Jefferson is. And I think for lack of a better word, O'Connell's going to embrace him because he's talented, because of who he is as a guy, because of his attention to detail. You listen to him to break, you know, breaking down like Jalen Ramsey or whatever, or talking about what he learned from Keenan Allen or whatever. It's highly, highly, highly intricate. And I think Mike Zimmer loved football, but he loved defensive football, right? Mike Zimmer's less USC. He's more the Midwest, you know, we have to specify
he's
now
Wisconsin.
The Midwest. He's Wisconsin,
big farm
baby.
Boys in the trench.
Yeah. He's bumping meat, baby. You know, it's like
big meaty men just bumping meat.
I think, we're both going down, Chris Shad, but I think we knew that about him, that it was about the defense. And I think he really loved like the Terrence Newmans, the Harrison Smiths, these guys who really Anthony Barr really understood defense. And he believed almost like the offense was just like a component of it in some ways. And I don't want to harp back on that last game, but this is a meaningless game against the Bears. You lost like a brutal game in Green Bay. You lost a game that like, even that Rams one was pretty painful. If it hadn't happened like right next to the Green Bay one, you'd been like, man, that was kind of a rough loss. And the only thing you show up for, other than that, like, hey, it's the last time you can watch a professional football game like in person in Minneapolis, but like, is can Justin Jefferson break this record? And you see this guy who grew up in Louisiana, who was a star at LSU, kind of made something of himself. I don't think he was like highly recruited. Going, man, I'm going to break Moss's record. And I get there's an extra game and all this stuff, but all you care about here is like, hey, this is the most exciting. I love Diggs. I love Thielen. Justin Jefferson is the most exciting receiver since Moss. And all you want to see is him break the record. And if anything, it's just like, it's exciting from a football standpoint. It's also exciting because it's him and he'd just be honest about it. He'd be jubilant, right? And he said the right things. And Kirk did. I love the Kirk is just such like a dad. He's like, you know, I talked to Justin and, you know, it's just like, listen, you know, we can't focus too much on the record, but whatever he said was very much like, you know, hey, it's a team first or whatever. And you're like, you know what the message is, right? It's just very funny. Like thinking about Kirk Cousins having that conversation with Justin Jefferson. They're just two very different people. But like you wanted that to happen. And Zimmer, you know, Zimmer goes on the podium and goes, I don't care about that stuff. Zimmer went out his own way. He did it the way he wanted to. It was like, hey, you should lose this game. Nah, let's win it. Justin Jefferson, can we force him the ball? Nah. You know, like it just was what it was. And I think as much as O'Connell's not going to sit here and go, hey, what records could Justin Jefferson play? I think that's ridiculous if he thought that, and he's not thinking that. But I think he's going to go, who are my best players? How do I enable them? Right. And to be fair, I think he hired someone on the defensive side, Donatel, who granted is undertaking something wild here. He's basically like, hey, with the same kind of the same guys, granted they brought in some new people or whatever, but like, we're going to switch the formation. You're like, okay. But I think he speaks the same way. I think he's going to go, how do I get something out of Kendricks? Right. Whatever. And I think, now we know it can go wrong, right? Because like Zimmer supposedly brought in an offensive guy and then started fighting with him right away, right? With Turner. But like, I think there's something about this culture that as much as the hardcore football fan goes, that's touchy-feely or whatever, you go, no, dude, he just cares about his players and wants to enable them. And Justin Jefferson will thrive in that situation because I think Justin Jefferson wants to be great. He can say, I want to be a Hall of Famer because he's on that track right now, right? And he can say like, listen, I got 100 yards on Jalen Ramsey and whatever. Like Keenan Allen, it was so funny when he caught that football and flipped it to him. You know, there's something about like just he can have that moxie and that confidence and say what he says because he backs it up. And it's just great to see a coach who probably hears that and goes, dude, I'm glad I got this guy. I can think of like 100 different routes he can run or whatever.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people look at Jefferson and they just go, yeah, you know, Cooper Kupp, he had a triple crown. Like he wound up doing everything. But I look at it the same way. And our colleague at Zone Coverage, Luke Braun, wrote about this, where he was in the Cooper Kupp role basically in last year's offense. He was the top option in the passing game. Mm-hmm. It's just that they didn't stick with it because Mike Zimmer wanted to run the football. Or I could probably see in my mind every time Clint Kubiak rolled out motion, pre-snap motion, or lined up Justin Jefferson in the backfield or whatever, like kind of being like, what is this? Like, we can't be doing this. Why is he in the backfield? He's a receiver. Like it's square pegs and round holes. And I feel like this coaching staff is just like, all right, position us football. We're just going to put you in situations to succeed. And then the team will succeed.
Yeah. I think when I look back at like that Arizona game, right, Osborne gets the touchdown right away. And it's, you know, say what you want about Cousins. Mike Zimmer complimented him after that game, right? He marched him down the field and put him should they have taken a shot in the end zone? Probably. But like he got him in position to kick a field goal that Greg Joseph should make and should win that game. The most frustrating thing, especially coming off that Cincinnati game where it felt like, you know, kind of the gears were jammed or whatever. And it also did not feel like you were playing like the Super Bowl champion Bengals in week one. It felt like you were playing this like weird team that wasn't very good, right? And so like coming off that really disappointing loss, like, dude, Clint Kubiak, I'm not convinced like this guy's like a boy genius or something, but like Clint Kubiak was like doing things to open up holes for Dalvin Cook. He was doing things to get like the ball into the receiver's hands. We can talk about like, did his dad help him script the plays? Probably. Like his dad's Gary Kubiak, you know what I mean? Like he probably did help him out, but like certainly he could do something right. There was some genius to how he scripted out these plays, and there was some genius in how he ran the offense against Arizona. And I think the most frustrating thing about that was I was like, okay, they're going to use this as the blueprint going forward. And instead, they just got super conservative. And like, you almost lost this game to Detroit in Minnesota, and then you went and lost there, right? And like, you know, think of all these games where it's just like they're putting the clamps down and they're like, you know, like everything kind of had to go right for them to win because they're playing so close to the margins. And I think O'Connell probably looks back at the tape, especially because he's been coaching a lot of same players. And my hope, my guess is he goes, yeah, dude, that Arizona game, like if we play like that, I can coach that. I can enable mm-hmm. that. And this is what we're going to look like. And yeah, that's like, it's high risk. I was there in Arizona with our boy Tiny Nick, who does the gambling picks. I was staying at his place, you know, and I remember being like, hey, it's entertaining for people in the media. It's entertaining for fans. I get it probably is like going to cause cardiac arrest for coaches. But like, A, I think O'Connell's up for that. And B, like, I hope his lesson was, Justin Jefferson was ready for that game, as he is for everything. Kirk Cousins was ready for that game. You know, like, we can win like that occasionally. And I think that's why Justin Jefferson, I think, will put up numbers. I hope he stays healthy. That's obviously the wild card, but like, he has so far. And I think he's going to put up numbers just because he's in an offense and with a coach that just has a different, enable the players play offense, kind of win, and the Rams did not win playing conservatively.
So let's answer the Kirk question here, because we can't have a Viking Age show without talking about Kirk Cousins. This might be the best situation of Kirk's career. We talked about that together. The head coach loves working with him. He's got strong offensive weapons everywhere. A good, not great offensive line. That could be a loophole there. But Adam Rank called him the Michelob Ultra of quarterbacks. Can this guy become Mick Golden Light? Or like, because I mean, he's not going to be, I mean, some people are like screaming at the computer right now. Just like, hey, this beer. No. The Mick Golden Light is the Marshawn Lynch of beers, guys. You know why I'm here. Like, if I show up with a case of Mick Golden Light, it's time. As they say in like the UFC or whatever.
The Marshawn Lynch of beers. I was going to say, I wonder if you overrate Mick Golden Light. It's great product. However, I think, man, that's funny. Mick Ultra is very funny. Like, I'm trying to remember that lady who like dresses up. She did. She called him White Claw with like lime White Claw.
Oh, Annie Yeager. Yeah.
Yes. I did not see the video. I had someone text me that, which I was like, I'm glad you took time of your day to tell me what alcoholic beverage Kirk Cousins is like. But I think, I mean, here's the thing. Like, it's different when we talk. It's a different like spirit when we talk about Justin Jefferson, because like, it's so exciting to think about him in like this modern offense. He's excited about it. It is very funny that Kirk Cousins is like, well, we're doing some weird things on defense and I'm trying to figure that out, playing against them. Right. And then he's like, you're asked about the terminology. He's like, you know, I'm using some flashcards, man. Like, there's a lot of new words. You know? So like, it is what it is, but like in his own way, Kirk Cousins is detail focused in some ways. Like if you're going to kind of like crank it up, right? Like you do want some quarterback with like some, listen, he goes over the top with like how conservative he can be with the ball, but you do want a guy, you don't want Jameis Winston. Like the problem is that guy is like too overeager and you're like, hey, you threw into triple covers. Like the offense isn't like that special where you can avoid that, right? Like you still have to go through reads. But I think there are better quarter, like O'Connell could probably get more out of a better quarterback, but I think a guy like this syncs up with him. Cause I don't think O'Connell needs someone like he doesn't need like a Lamar Jackson who you have to design a whole unique offense for it. He makes plays with his feet or whatever. You don't need a guy like that or Kyler Murray or whatever for him. I think like there is something to O'Connell being like, hey dude, I can just tell Kirk what to do and he'll do it. You know? And I know that's like super boring. It's very Kirk Cousins, but it's like, if you create the illusion of complexity and you go, Kirk, the guy over there is going to be open, he'll throw it to the guy over there. And if you go, hey, if he's not open, the second guy over here is open and he'll go through that read. And I think it's very funny how different Cousins and Jefferson are, as I said. But like the one thing is, I think they actually both pay attention. I think with Kirk, he literally sits in a cubicle. Like if you go read a Reeves piece on him and going back to Michigan State and he kind of dug into, I guess, the psyche, right, of Kirk Cousins. He is detail oriented to a fault, right? To a certain extent, like Justin Jefferson was like, just throw the ball somewhere near me, right? Thielen said that too. But if the offense is designed correctly, like you just don't, I actually think Clint Kubiak is going to end up being a good offensive coordinator. There are things Searles wrote about him. Rob Searles, one of our writers on Zone Coverage, wrote about like the merits of Clint Kubiak last year. I'm not really knocking him so much as like, there's just a difference between, hey, I hired Gary Kubiak's son, and this is kind of the first time in a big role like this, and like O'Connell, right? Who's like, I sat in the room with McVay, and I actually think it can work. I think the hardest thing is like, you'd want the schedule to play out differently. It's very exciting to see the Packers right away. It's very exciting to go like into Philadelphia right away, but you'd almost want them to play like a middling team in like the first 2 weeks and just have them just like railroad them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not just like pick up 2 wins or something, but just as like see the whole thing uncorked. And my hope with that Packers game is it actually plays like the Packers game in Minneapolis for obvious reasons. The alternative wasn't great, but like also because that was kind of a back and forth. Like that was one of the few kind of exciting games. And I hope they open it up right away. Cause I think what they need to show people right away is, hey, Kirk's not going to turn into Pat Mahomes, right? He's not going to turn into like, I don't know. I mean, like he's not going to be these guys who are elite. He's not going to be Joe Burrow, but like, I think he can be enabled in his own way, because I actually think what you got to do with Cousins is keep things simple, right? You talk about kind of these things he keeps saying, right? Allusion to complexity. It's complex for the defense. It's very simple for the offense. The quiet mind, right? I don't know what goes on in Kirk Cousins' mind. I don't know if we all need to go know what's going on in Kirk Cousins' mind.
Scary, scary place, I think.
but I think I know he's going to perform better if he's thinking less, because you want him to take what he's doing in the cubicle, right, and kind of plotting out all this and apply it directly to the football field. So again, I don't think he's going to be like any more exciting, or we're going to be like, man, we were all wrong about Kirk Cousins. I think it's more like Kirk's just better off like in something like this, where it's passing focus, where he can focus on his accuracy and arm strength and ability to make reads and his discipline. Because I actually think a disciplined quarterback is going to be more successful in an O'Connell offense than one who's less disciplined, but maybe a little more exciting.
All right, let's move on to our final topic, because I forgot to plug in my computer at the beginning of this podcast. So Adrian Peterson was going to fight Le'Veon Bell at Crypto.com Arena, incredible, formerly known as the Staples Center, on July 30th. So this is about as dumb as two California schools moving to the Big Ten. But who is going to be the greatest fantasy football running back of the past decade? And are you buying the fight, Tom?
First of all, I'm not buying the fight. I did think about it for a second, but I'm not going to spend hard-earned cash on that. I think it is ridiculous. Like, see, here's the thing. I don't have nostalgia for boxing. You know, I think if I talked to my uncles, they'd be like, dude, you know, you weren't around when it was like all this hype being built up, and like this was a thing you couldn't avoid. You know, the problem is, I'm trying to think that last, I think it was Mayweather Pacquiao, we like were going to Buffalo Wild Wings and they're like, dude, we're not spending the money on this fight, right? And that, like, we couldn't find a place that had it, and I was like, yeah, I'm not shelling out for like whatever costs, even if you split it with a couple guys. So it's just not as important. I mean, I think I've seen like this transition from these pros and the sweet science and like all this buildup of like journalists going in and talking about their training, and these guys are all talking trash the whole time, right? So there isn't like a mystique to boxing for me. Having said that, like, it's become ridiculous that it's like, hey, we're going to have Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson. Those are, you know, right? And like, I'm a little worried, like Adrian Peterson needs some money, you know, like you just kind of read into some of the, you know, the stuff he has going on, and you're like, well, at some point he's got to pay off like that camel he rode at the one birthday party or whatever. But the other thing is, it's just kind of, you wanted Adrian Peterson to kind of go out a little more gracefully. And I think about how he was essentially on the side of the building as they were building at the US Bank Stadium, in purple, and since then kind of bounced around to all these random teams. You know, in terms of Le'Veon Bell, like, I do remember him as a good back. I remember him principled trying to, you know, hold out and, you know, get what he thought he was worth, and how things kind of fell apart from there. And it's just a little weird that you see like one guy who's 37, one guy's 30 in a fight, not playing the sport that they excelled at one point. So I get that's the life of a running back. I get why these guys get beat up or whatever, but, I guess I get why it's happening. I just think it's ridiculous. And so it's content for us. You're doing something on it for the site. Tyler Ireland, a young writer on zonecoverage.com, is also doing something. So there'll be some value in this. I don't know if I need to set aside time of my day to watch like two ex running backs.
It's one of those things, like if you're sitting around on a Saturday night and you're just bored like me, just crushing some Mick Golden Lights, and you're just like, yeah, I'll watch Adrian Peterson. I'll tell you a story right now, because as you saw, I ran and got my charger because I did not want this broadcast to disconnect. This is the most professional. I will let everybody know this is my second YouTube broadcast that I've been in charge of. So there's still a little bit of a kink. Daniel House was on the last time I ran it, and I forgot to run the intro video. So I basically had like a Burt Blylevin moment without the F-bomb. Or is this like, oh, we're live. Oh, okay.
Has Daniel House aged at all? Like, I remember last time I saw him,
he still looks like he's a senior in high school, actually.
Yeah, pre-quarantine. I know House a little bit. Pre-quarantine, I remember talking to him. And, you know, he's famous for like him being this like little kid holding the football, being the genius he is. And he truly is one of the smartest people ever. But yeah, it's like, hey, dude, like, did you know when we took that picture, you just never age? Like, you just, you know, preserved in like a cryo chamber or something.
But
yeah, I can't imagine turning on YouTube and looking and being like, hey, is that kid allowed on YouTube?
He knows a lot about Gopher football. Like, is he doing his homework or what?
Yeah.
Here's my question here. And this is how we'll wrap things up. Like, if we went in time and you could have two Vikings fight each other, or two NFL players like in a boxing match, who would you have go at it?
Yeah, I mean, I know people get up for these things like, oh, there's a fight in camp or whatever. Brad Childress is, you know, calling out at Troy Williamson or something. I'm trying to think if like, because, you know, you could go the big guy route and you go like, who would take out like John Randall or whatever? Oh. Or like you could go like, I mean, John, who fights? There's no way I would go anywhere near if I had to fight him, like anywhere near John Randall. I think he'd take out most of, I guess, the historical Viking, you know. Or do you go with a guy who's like, he's got a little range, you know? I'm thinking like a receiver, probably got good footwork, quick twitch.
Danielle Hunter could probably do it.
I mean, Danielle Hunter is almost like built kind of like a fighter. Like he's not, that dude is lean. Like he's cut, you know? And like, I mean, I'm just trying to think like, do I want to see anything settled? And part of me is just like, can I just see like Brad Childress fight someone? And it's not even like a player, because I don't want to see that. Like, I think that just, it'd be like a horrible, horrible, horrible thing to watch on television. But like, because obviously he's not winning that, but it's just like, who does Childress in his mind, because he has called some people out, I guess, who does he think in his mind, like, oh, I could take that guy? And I want to know who that is, and I want to see Brad Childress fight him. I'd give him the option of who to fight. Now, again, if he says Troy Williams, I'm like, I know he dropped passes. You're not fighting Troy Williamson, man. If he's like, yeah, Percy Harvin threw a dumba at me at one point or whatever, I'd be like, no, but like, Percy Harvin, I don't think he ever made it back to the league, but he was in a video last year, I think, right? He was trying to get back in the league. That guy's ripped up. Like, I don't want to see him fight. I'm just saying, Childress, you can choose a random assistant that you just kind of had a beef with over like the, you know, whatever in the back room. Like, let's go fight that guy. But I think it's just, I want to see Childress fight someone that's like kind of in his weight class, like at his level. Just because I'm curious, like if that guy is the moxie to call out, you know, these guys like to, you know, in the middle of the field and go slug it out, he's got to be confident. Maybe he has a right hook. Maybe he has an uppercut, you know, I don't know, but I want to see Childress fight someone.
Yeah. You see, I kind of went in that vein, but I also went with Percy Harvin against Leslie Frazier, because Adam laughs all the time that Percy threw. Now, this is where I get confused. I don't know if Percy threw the weight plate at Childress or if he threw the weight plate at Frazier. because I've heard Frasier and I've heard, and today I was reading, I'm like 95% sure it was Leslie Frasier, because he's like, that's the joke. He's the nicest guy on the planet, face of the earth. And he's like, I'm so angry, I'm going to throw this weight plate at you.
I don't want to. Les Frazier is a nice man. The other thing is, I think I'd be careful in terms of old guys. You could like throw a punch. Like that guy was on a good defense. Like that guy at one point was like an elite athlete. Like I would be careful.
Les seems like he's got like an intense side, like a quiet intensity.
Yeah.
Like if you ramp it up, like he'd be able to beat you. The other fight that I think most Viking fans would want to see is Mike Zimmer against Rick Spielman. Just give him some gloves, put him in the ring. They haven't talked, like we haven't heard from Mike Zimmer all of this time, right?
How
do we know he's not like doing a Rocky training montage at its ranch right now, punching some like skinned grizzly bear, shooting holes in ones on his par 3 golf course, climbing the highest hill he can climb, and screaming Spielman?
Wait, hold on. He has a golf course, a par 3 at his ranch.
I'm pretty sure he has a golf course. And if it's not shocked, that, it's a driving range.
I'm shocked he has the patience for golf. But I think I am. I'm just being honest. The most shocking
Happy
thing,
Gilmore thinks he snaps too much.
Yeah. It's freaking Zimmer. I don't see him on most of these guys wind down and play golf. I think the crazy thing is somehow Zimmer handled post firing media better than Spielman. And I always thought of Spielman as kind of this consummate professional that he, now granted, the other thing is like, he didn't do media at like with the media in Minnesota ever. And so it's very funny that all of a sudden now he's like on Rich Eisen and he's on this and that and like slinging arrows. And I think part of it is, I think he thought he still would have a job. I think he thought like he was getting a senior position and he was kind of helping whoever, transfer in, and all of a sudden, like, I don't know how accurate all this reporting was, but like, if that's true, because some people were throwing that out there, like if the rug was swept from underneath him and he was bitter about that, where Mike Zimmer knew, like he knew that Chicago game was it. You could see him sitting on the bench looking out on the field. He was taking pictures with Andre and his son and like whatever. He knew it was over, and I think maybe he processed it. But like Zimmer has handled it better, and it's funny, like Spielman has more to lose. Like he probably could get hired for another GM job. Like I think Zimmer would be like a prime defensive coordinator hire, but I think I could also see him being like, dude, I'm fine. I have all this money. I have my ranch. Like I got to coach with my kid, whatever. And I think like it's shocking to me actually that somehow Zimmer handled this so much better. Having said that, I don't want to see those two fight. Like I think Zimmer brings intensity and stuff, and I think he'd be a maniac. But I think like Spielman low key kind of can take a couple blows and just like throw a hard right. I just don't think it's like, I think it'd be kind of funny, but I think it's ridiculous. I think you'd want to see like Zimmer fight Zimmer. You know what I mean? Like you can't do this in real life, but I think a mirror match.
Yeah,
I think you want a mirror match in a video game because I think it'd be the most insane thing you could ever see.
They did that back in the 90s. Here's your wrestling reference of the day, Tom. The Undertaker fought the Undertaker at SummerSlam. It was just another guy who was the same size and had the same haircut and everything. And the Undertaker was wearing a mask at the point because I think he broke his orbital bone at some point. Jeez. So at SummerSlam, they just brought this guy in and he had a match with this other guy. And it wasn't good at all, but... That's the type of thing we're looking for Zimmer. I mean, maybe you do that with the sunglasses. You can't really tell which one's the real Zimmer until somebody wins the fight. I don't know.
Freaking Vikings, man. This is what happens is we start talking podcasts about how California teams are joining the Big Ten. We talk briefly about how exciting it's going to be to see Kirk and JJ in a modern offense and then spend the end of the podcast talking about which Vikings we can fight. And I think you somehow are going to have two articles on our site about who should fight who, because you had the Hell in the Cell one, and then you're going to have another one. And you also had a thing about Brock Lesnar because he actually did try out for the Vikings. So
yes.
So this is, the Vikings are ridiculous. They'll never,
June
ever
content,
stop.
Baby.
June it's just the Vikings, content. Man. Yeah. It's just incredible.
Well, on that note, thanks to Tom for coming on, filling in for Adam. It's all the time we have for today. Again, we have this every Monday and Thursday at 6:15 p.m. Central Time, and it's much better produced by our normal co-host, Adam Patrick. It's not a slam on Tom. That's a slam on myself. So thank you once again for filling in, Tom. Adam will be back on Monday. Thanks again for watching. This has been the Viking Age Podcast.